And good afternoon. I'd like you to take a piece of paper first. And the piece of paper you're going to take is not something you're going to put into the drill. It will be different. And if you need a piece of paper, you can lift up your hand and ask the Barnabas to bring a piece of paper to your hand. Your hands up if you need a piece of paper. And you have people coming to bring a piece of paper to your hand. And tonight, especially, the Holy Spirit intends to pray regarding your gifts and your calling. By calling, I am not talking about necessary into the full-time ministry, but in regard to the ministry that God has for you to do, whether it be full-time or non-full-time. But God will have a ministry in your life. So the gifts with regard to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of God in your life. And what you can do is you can list down, if you're not sure of the office that you stand in the area of full time, then list whatever you are sure of, and what you're not sure of, just write in the description the type of ministry that you have a leaning or inclination to. And those who don't send the call to the ministry to full time, what you can write, you're not sure the type of ministry, is just to write down the not sure of what the exact location of ministry God for you. Just write down the area of ministry that you would be most comfortable in, and that you have a most important thing, a desire to move into those areas of ministry, and that's in the area of ministry. Then the second part is to the gifts of the Spirit. You have to list down the gifts of the Spirit in specific things that you desire to move into. But tonight I sense that God is going to increase and impart His gifts into your life. And what you will be doing is, after you write that down, you'll be holding it with you throughout the whole night. In regard to the ministry and the gifts, two areas, ministry and the gifts. If you are not sure and you cannot specify, then at least you describe it in whatever point you can. If you have heard the teaching to the five-fold ministry or the nine ministries of believers or the nine gifts of the Spirit, you'll probably be able to be more specific. A prophet teacher, there's different prophet teacher. If you're a Christian entrepreneur, different Christian entrepreneur in the area of ministry. Just be as specific as you can. And you can tell it usually from the desires that God has placed in your life. Desires are very important. And remember to list down also the gifts of the Spirit that you desire to move in. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. With the list down the specific gifts of the Holy Spirit that you have a yearning and a desire to move into. Nine. What a wisdom, what a knowledge, etc. With the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Important to desire. The reason we have you listed before the teaching is so that you could all reflect on your thoughts after the teaching. You need to sort of write down all that is in your mind before we go in. Right? It's just about 1 minute to summarize it. If after the teaching you see you need more time, then you can go to the staircase and light to be on. Tonight we're going to see the connection between prayer and the ministry, prayer and the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And it's important to consider the fact that before God does anything through your life, He will work through your desire. He will place His desire in your life. So whenever God wants to do something, He always, I repeat,
100% of the time, he always places a desire. For example, if God calls you to be a missionary, the desire will be there somehow at a certain point in your life. Even when at first you don't have the desire, later as the time comes closer and closer to move into the area, the desire for that increase. What we are saying here is that no ministry or no gift can flow through your life without desire. God implants His desire into our lives. That is like a seed of a ministry or a gift. The opposite of it is not true. In fact, it's only true one way. That is, it's not true that all our desires may be godly or may be in line with what God has for us. It's true only one way. All animals are cats, but not all cats are all cats are animals, but not all animals are cats. So it's not what I call true both ways. It's only true one way. In the same way, every work of God, every ministry of God, every gift of God that is to function through your life will always have a desire birth into your life before you move into that. The opposite of that is not true. Not all desires may be from Him. When I was younger in the Lord, I remember when I was 1 year as a Christian, I had through reading, I don't know where I got it from, through reading the Word of God, or maybe through the influence of reading Christian literature. Where were we? We are talking about the desire for the Lord, and we are saying that the opposite is not true, that it's not all the desires will lead to something God wants us to do. However, if God wants to do something, He always puts a desire in our life. And I was sharing about how when I was 1 year old and about 1 year plus as a Christian, I had this tremendous desire to be a prophet. And apparently, I found that it was not only true of me. I think the equalizer is on. Please make sure it's off or so. Right? It cuts off some of the hertz and frequency. Praise God. I found that it's not true. It's not all desires can are of God. And I had that desire to be a prophet. I don't know where it came from. But one thing I know, looking back and during those days, it looked glamorous. To think of being a prophet. After all, everybody you read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, seems to be a prophet. Perhaps that's where it came from. Everybody seems to be a prophet in the Bible. Anyone who is close to God seems to be a prophet in the Bible. So it may have been from there. And I had this tremendous desire. I wanted to be in that area. And it looked so wonderful. But now there's an echo. Praise God. Could you adjust it until it's nice? Thank you. And we keep preaching while it's going on. And in this area, as I grew in the Lord, I discovered after about 5 years in the Lord, and I was 2 years old as a Christian when I went into the ministry. So it does not mean that you have to be many years as a Christian before you qualify to go in. Because when God has a call on your life, that works in our life. So, I was 2 years old as a Christian when God called me into the ministry, and I went along with that. But I found out after 5 years that it was not the will of God for me to be a prophet. And the time I began to realize that was not what He called me to do, not what He called me to be. So I discovered that some of our desires may not be the Lord. Some of our desires came from influence. Perhaps the people around us. Perhaps the things we read. Perhaps the thing we perceive. Perhaps from our parents and our mother or our father, role image in us. Perhaps from a strong uncle or aunt who has a strong influence on our life. Why do people desire to be doctors, lawyers? Let's go in the natural. Why is it that some people choose a certain profession in the natural? There are some forces that influence their choice. Sometimes they saw a role model that inspired them. And so there are some influences that influence our desire. Not all desires are from the Lord. However, before God does anything, He has to work through our desire. If God were to remove desire from our life and ask us to do something, we will merely do it out of duty, without love, without zeal, without a zest in doing those things. It's important. That's why God deals with us from the inside outward. And the remarkable thing is that desire and what God has placed in us as a seed in what He wants us to do, when God wants you to do something, we have established a truth here. When God wants you to do something, He will always place a seed. Your ministry in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time now, is the seed of desire in your life. The gifts of the Spirit that God wants you to work in or operate is now a seed of a desire in your life. That is an established truth in the Word of God. Now, desire can only be birthed forth through prayer. Desire can only grow to its full process and completion through prayer. Therefore, when God has placed a desire in a person's life to be, for example, a prophet, and if the person neglects to pray, the person may live and die without entering a prophet's office. I don't care whether he was called or not, or whether he had a desire. There are many people who go to heaven who desire to do certain things, but it never took place. Who intended to do many things, but it never took place. But yet there are others who desire and did it. And in heaven, we are not rewarded for what we desire, we are rewarded for what we did. Kenneth Hagin was told by the Lord Jesus that if he had not spent that time waiting on Him, and he had not spent that time with God and in the Word, he may never enter the phases in his ministry. It was 15 years in the ministry before he went into the first phase. Can you imagine that? 15 years he was in the permissive will of God. And after 15 years, it could only took place when he was in a position of praying over something in his life. He was praying because he was dissatisfied with what he was doing. It felt wrong what he was doing. He felt he should be in the field all the time. And he went into prayer and entered the first phase of his ministry after 15 years. And the Lord told him in that first vision in his book, I Believe in Visions, that there are many of his ministers who live and die without even entering the first phase. Desire alone is not enough, but it is the beginning. Desire must be combined with prayer in order for it to explode in your life to reality. And at each point in our life, even between the various phases that God has planned for us, at the end of each phase, there will come a new direction through a new desire. And as you nurse it in prayer, it will burst forth through another realm. I'm talking about the ministry. In the gifts of the Spirit, it operates the same way. That as God intends to operate a gift in your life, there comes first a desire to operate in it. And as the desire increases and it combines with prayer, an explosion takes place and it manifests in your life. Let's look in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. But earnestly desire the best gift. Earnestly desire the best gift. Now, at first that looks like a contradiction, for in chapter 12, verse 28, it says, God has appointed. So the initiative is God. God appoints the different ministries. What about the gift? Verse 11, chapter 12. The same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Based on verse 11 and verse 28, one verse talks about the ministry gifts, the other verse talks about the nine gifts. It looks as if it's God who does what He likes. It's God who initiates the process. It's God who appoints. It's the Holy Spirit who works as He will. There's nothing we have to do except yield. That's only half the picture. If that is true, what's the point of desiring it? Since God does it as He wills, not as we will. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction at first? On one side it's saying, God works as He will. It's God who does it, not us. Then He turns around and says, you desire. So what happens if I desire something that God doesn't want me to have? I can't have it either. But the point that He's making is the point I have made. That there are things that we can desire that out of God's will that will never take place anyway. On the other hand, it doesn't rule out the fact that before God can work, there must be desire. And it always starts with desire. Even Mark 11 verse 24 talks about desire. What things soever you desire when you pray. Obviously, desire has to do with prayer. Desire is connected to prayer. And prayer births the desire into the ministry or gift that it was in seed form earlier. Paul knew this truth. Therefore, Paul shared with the Corinthians how it's God who does His part. But if we don't do our part by allowing God to work His desire through our lives, you may live and die without manifesting. Let me tell you, a lot of Christians today are not living dedicated enough lives. The amount of time they're spending with God, with the Word, and in fellowship with their wherever fellowship they came from, is so minimum, it's only maintaining their Christian life. They can live on that way for 10 more years and they never go any further. They are living only on bare minimum. And they are wondering, if God wants to do it, let Him do it. No. In 10 years' time, you still remain the same. It takes desire and prayer to birth those things out in your life. It was because of a tremendous desire that God has placed in my heart and life that drove me on when I was 1 year old as a Christian. I was so hungry for God, I would get up early in the morning at 4 and cry before the Lord. I was hungry for the reality. And we gathered together in the early hours of the morning. We prayed, we travailed. And there were many times I got there earlier than the other Christians who were praying together with me. At least there were two others, three of them. And then all together, we would pray on that flat, on the top of the flat. There's always an open area. And we would kneel down on the hard cement floor. But it's the desire that drove me to do extra. It's the desire that drove me to pray more. If I had lived the average Christian life, prayed half an hour, read the Bible one chapter a day, I would never be where I am today. I would still be somewhere, probably in Singapore or in Johor Bahru, being a successful Christian accountant and a chess player. I would not have entered the ministry, my friend. God only spoke to me after a long session of those kind of meetings in the morning, when one of those early mornings, there came such a presence of God that I said, Lord, if I don't do anything about that, I'm very uncomfortable. It was in one of those mornings when God's presence just filled that whole place. I wept and wept for hours, and I knew I must go into the ministry. Why didn't God speak to me there? God probably did. But there are too many times when God is speaking so many things that we cannot hear until we hear Him in the closet. And even in the seminary, I was not the average student, my friend. I was not satisfied with what I learned in the classes. It gave me some knowledge, but the hunger in my heart was not met. I felt like I was not receiving the training I should. Thank God we had a big front seminary. I will tell you and bear witness to that. I used to climb the rocks near the beach. You know, on the beaches there are lots of rocks that are very private places. So I would climb, sneak here and sneak there, looking for the best places to be alone with God. It was not on the seminary schedule. We had devotion classes, we had this, we had that, but there was something more. It was a desire that drove on, but desire must be acted upon. And it made me climb to those rocks. There were many times I would sit on those rocks and pray and pray and pray. Every time I finished my schoolwork, I didn't ignore my schoolwork. I finished my schoolwork. After finishing, I would rush down to the beach and then go down there to pray. That was where I met my wife. That was a side story. The main story was that I went down there and I prayed constantly. Sat on those rocks. I could go back with you to those same places. Show you the very rocks I sat on. The very place I used to climb on. The desire grew. And every time I hear men of God with the anointing of God on their life, with the power of God on their life, every time I read about them in books, although they have died and gone long ago to glory, I hear some of their tapes. There were many times I would hang out in the late night, 12 o'clock midnight, 1 o'clock, wandering up and down in the seminary. I remember one time there was a flagpole near the seminary that overlooks a beautiful view of the sea with the moon shining down. Nice night for romanticism. But I was too hungry for God. I took my little cassette recorder, I borrowed it from somebody, and I played. I remember the tape I played, William Branham. And his sermon was When Love Projects. I heard the tape for the third time. And for that third time I heard it because I knew there was the power of God in his life. And as I hear it, the tears run down my eyes. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, out there in the open. But it was all this constant crying to God, desire combined with prayer, that before some of the things God began to do. I know one thing. If I had the first half of Mark 11:24, I would still be where I am. But when whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, you have to add the second half. Prayer is the only key to birth for some of the things, and in fact all the things that God has sown as a seed in your life. In your life. It is prayer. And I don't know how any minister in this day can birth forth the seed that God has planted in your life unless they close themselves in the closet for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Even William Branham started his ministry when after many years he tried this, he tried that, and he said he doesn't understand this manifestation that's trying to come. And one day he told his dear wife and with their family, he took just a tub of water and he said, if I don't get the answer from God about what is happening, strange things are happening in my life, I'm not coming back again. This is goodbye. The wife cried, he cried. He cannot stand it anymore. And he went right into the jungle. And it was there that the angel appeared to him. And he started a tremendous ministry. God may have placed desires in your life, but unless it is combined and birthed forth with prayer, you may live and die with just the seed. The seed needs to be planted, nurtured with water, in the right environment, with fertilizer, and then it will bear fruit. The seed alone is not enough. The seed in itself is life, no doubt. But the seed in itself needs other conditions to grow. And in too many lives, it's not growing because there's not enough time in prayer. The marvelous thing is that prayer is symbolized as watering of the seed. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. See, prayer is symbolized as working on the seed that God has sown in your life. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1, he says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, or the things of the Spirit. Desire spiritual, but especially that you may prophesy. He says, desire after the things of God. Every ministry and every gift that God wants to work in your life comes forth as a result of burning to prayer, nurturing to prayer. You would probably have noticed this. When you give time to overnight prayer and long sessions of prayer, a lot of the things in your spiritual life seems accelerated. When before your Christian life was traveling at 10 miles per hour, now you seem to be traveling more at 40 miles per hour or at 55 miles per hour. There is a lot of acceleration process that takes place when you give time to prayer. I'm not just talking about the ministry. You could be called to be a Christian entrepreneur. And God may have predestined that you'll be a multimillionaire for Christ in several years' time or 10 years' time. It may be in his books, The fact is, if you continue as a normal Christian, 20 years may pass and you still never come, even though it was God's will. But when we pray, it accelerates the process to its normal speed that God wants us to move in. That God has planned for our life to move in His perfect will of His ministry and His will in our life. And I pity those who are called who never know the value of prayer. You literally cannot live without it. If in the ministry you never want to pray, you might as well leave the ministry, my friend. These are strong words, but you might as well leave the ministry. Because you will never be able to birth forth what the Spirit wants you to birth forth. You can't exist without prayer in the ministry. And in the other aspects of ministry, whether non-full time, you could live what the world calls a nominal Christian life, but it's not normal for God. Because it never comes forth to the fullness that God wants and desires. Let's look on to the book of 2 Kings chapter 3 in verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing." Things of the Spirit have a price. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Shall not be so. This is Elisha. He was following Elijah for about 10 years. When you live 10 years closely with a person, you know their attitude and you could almost read their thoughts. You know what their moves are. You understand, maybe not completely, but to a much more vast extent than those who have not lived with that man. And he understood about the anointing. And I believe that when he met Elijah was famous. He was a nobody. Elisha was a nobody. But Elijah was a somebody in 1 Kings 19 when they met. Because Elijah must have been famous. Everybody is talking about him. He's the one who went to the king and the king sent announcement all over looking for him. In the 3.5 years when there was no rain, the king was looking for him. They looked everywhere. Elijah was famous. Well known. One more when he came back. He was the instrument to bring about the destruction of all the prophets of Baal. Prophet who called on the fire. His name is widespread. And we knew that he ran away after 40 days. He reached a mountain. God spoke to him and told him to go and get Elisha. Elisha was a nobody. Greenhorn, dark horse. Who was he, Elisha? Nobody. And I believe that the very day, in fact, God already told Elijah that Elisha is called to be a prophet. In 1 Kings 19. And that very day when Elijah came, took his mantle, and just came by and threw it at Elisha, That's how prophets behave. Thank God I'm not one. I mean, didn't even say hello, didn't even say greetings, took the mantle and just... And expect the guy to follow. But from that time onwards and the encounter, I'm sure Elisha would have a desire. And I believe towards the last point, God, through Elijah, was testing out Elisha. See, God, through Elijah must have known the Lord, what the Lord was going to do. And he said those words with a purpose. When they went to various places, as you can see in 2 Kings chapter 3, all the places are listed down for you. They went one after the other. 2 Kings chapter 2. Chapter 2, right. In verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, they were in Gilgal. Then, in verse 3, they were in Bethel. And then they went on, in verse 4, to Jericho. And then they crossed over to the Jordan, in verse 8 and 9. And at each place, Elijah said, stay here. Stay here. Now, remember, for 10 years, he gave command to Elisha. Do you know Elisha was actually just a servant? In 2 Kings chapter 3, the king said, here, there is Elisha who called water on Elijah's hand. And I'm sure in his 10 years he was a good servant. What says you? He's a good servant. When Elijah need to, after he ate his meal, he must have ate like some of you. And after he ate his meals, he wanted to wash his hand. He says, Elisha! Yes, master! And he comes. Water! Yes, master! Coming! And he pours and he washes his hand. You need a change of his goat skin? He don't wear clothes, he wear goat skin. A sheep skin. And he says, Elisha! Yes, master! You please wash this? Yes, master! The soap is out, go and get soap, please. Everything he obeyed. He was a good servant. I would say he was a good servant. There was not one time when Elijah said, Elijah! Yes, master! Water! No, master, not now! He would be sick. There was not one time when he disobeyed. Right. Now, with that kind of mind frame, 10 years, he comes and the master is saying, stay here. First time he says, no. I'm not staying here. As long as you live, as long as the Lord lives, I will go with you. Hey, this is a different response now. Elijah didn't scold him. What was happening in his life? Desire. Anybody with a weak desire would have failed that first test. But he had a desire. He desired for what was on Elijah, and he won't let go under this, Elijah tells him the secret.
I mean, he was a
glue.
Went to the next place, a battle. Then the master said, stay here. And in a sense, he disobeyed his master. Because the desire for that anointing was greater than anything else. Remember, he knew his master was going to go off. Verse 1 tells you that. And all the sons of the prophets knew that. They knew the master was going to go off. Now, what would you do if you knew your master was going to go somewhere and never return? Especially if you knew your master was a prophet and you were a prophet too. And your master had a powerful anointing. I mean, you wouldn't let go and say, Master, you haven't shared the secret with me yet. See, the desire has been built. And there's no way we can have the gifts without desire. There's no way you can get a ministry without desire. The desire must be nurtured. And he desired so strongly that he wouldn't let the master go. In fact, if the master didn't give the last wish to him, he would have hung on. If the master, the chariots were coming, he would have hung on. Master said, let go, no! Let go, no! He would have hung on. He would have done that. He was that kind of character. And in fact, when the master never said anything while he go off, you remember that? Suddenly the chariot of fire came, separated them, and the master was going up. He reminded the master. Hey, Master, Master, the chariots of Israel. And he reminded the master of the work of God that had to still continue. And it was only when he reminded that Elijah dropped the mantle. Look at it very carefully. In chapter 3, chapter 2, right? In 3, chapter 2, after he promised that, in verse 11, it happened as they continued on and talked. Suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, the horses of fire, and separated the two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it. My father, he cried. The chariot of Israel and his horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now that fallen, that mantle that fallen, this is what I saw in the spirit as I meditate on that. The reason he cried out was as Elijah was going forth, he reminded again. He reminded him. Why did he cry out? He reminded him about his desire. Desire that anointing. As he cried out, I saw that mantle drop. He picked it up. It has to drop. It has to drop somewhere. It was not just, now take it. No. It dropped. That had fallen. See, the mantle fell. The word fell tells you that it fell from a certain height. That was what I saw as I visualized that scripture. See, it was not just given. If Elijah had taken it and given it, it wouldn't have fallen to the ground. Apparently, it happened so suddenly. Say, my father! He picked it up. In fact, before he picked it up, he saw his own one. Took his
his master and put it on. Desire. Desire. Many people miss out on a lot of things when they don't give in to the desire. Now, if your desire were from God, and when God works, you always have a desire. Remember that desire is only the first process of His ministry and gift. It can die at that stage with the world seeing nothing. We need to learn to convert that first process of desire into something real that can be birthed for. Let me tell a story of Catherine Kuhlman again. You know her ministry was birthed with her desire? You read her biography and you read this. That when she attended healing services by the man of God that she knew in those days, she saw the long lines of healing. When she saw it and she saw people who came in sick and went out sick, and he saw some flaky guys too who tried to sell their tents and say, get a piece of the tent and get a blessing. My word. She saw a lot of things going on that she felt was wrong. Every night she went back and cried to the Lord. See, she had a desire. Although her desire could not be comprehended by her mind yet, she knew something was wrong. It was a desire for the right things that tell her that something was wrong. It was a desire to perform it better than what she saw. It was a desire to perform it like she read in the Bible Jesus did. And she knew surely the healing ministry cannot be that. It was, remember, it's Catherine Kuhlman who changed the whole healing method that we have today. You look at tapes today by A.A. Allen or by some of the older preachers, you find all of them minister the same method. Long line, prayer card, one by one. It was Catherine Kuhlman who came and literally changed the whole method of ministering. And her methodology was based on her desire. She wept before the Lord. And in a biography, it reads that she said she was like Mary in the Bible who said, where have they placed my Lord? Where is the Lord in all these things? It cannot be the Lord's perfect method for ministering. The desire, verse 4, one of the most powerful ministries that we have ever seen in this century. Desire. See, it takes desire mixed with prayer to bring both to pass. Now, I have concentrated on teaching desire, and let's show the connection here. In the book of Acts 13, verse 1 to 3, and now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Look at verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and we all know that fasting for them always connects with prayer, and fasted, that the Holy Spirit spoke. Paul was now about 10 years as a Christian. He was called in Acts 9, 10 years before Acts 13. And in Acts 9, Ananias, to lay hands on him, was told by Jesus that Paul was called with a special calling. But it took a prayer meeting. Remember, it took a prayer meeting to birth forth the call. And it takes a prayer meeting to birth forth the call that God has on your life. It's in the prayer meeting some of the most important transactions take place in the spirit. My friend, prayer meetings are the spiritual supermarket. Where a lot of transactions take place. Sunday service is just a showroom. The transactions all take place in the closet. That's why people have it upside down. They see the things wrongly. It's a prayer. Even Robert Lyden says, prayer is walking in the realm of the Spirit. It's adventuring in the realm of the Spirit. And there are a lot of things that we have not received yet. I remember Robert Lyden sharing how he went to heaven, and there was a certain place in heaven where they have a lot of arms, legs, eyes, and all kinds of things. And he says, what are these? And the Lord says, these are for those who don't have arms, don't have eyes, and these are the creative miracles. When one day someone comes to service, they don't have a hand, and praise the Lord, the hand comes. Someone comes without an ear, and praise the Lord, the ear comes. But the angels of the Lord who are escorting him through the place said, a lot of these are unclean. Why are they unclean? A lot of desire, but not enough prayer. We have to realize that desire must be combined with prayer. The ministry that God has called you to must be combined with prayer in order for it to be birthed forth. And all the things that the Bible talks about in all those ministries, everything has been birthed in prayer. Look at Acts 1 and 2. Birthed in prayer. Do you know that the ministry of the 12 apostles, Jesus chose, was birthed in prayer? Luke 6. It was born in an overnight prayer. Part of the reason we have taught previously was that he prayed the whole night to seek direction from God. But we realize that Jesus' prayer was also a birthing process. Not only for revelation, it was birthing. He birthed forth in the spirit, and then he brought forth in the natural. Prayer is where new life comes. Prayer meetings are the spiritual labor wards. That's where all the babies come into the world. That's where new life comes. And it's in a prayer meeting where new ministries are born that have formerly been just a desire or a hope. It's in a prayer meeting that a new gift of the Holy Spirit is received. Later it's manifest in the natural. Oh, how powerful we realize spending time with God is. That prayer and the ministry are directly connected. And this is what happens as you pray. As you pray, you start off with a desire that God has planted. You combine that desire with prayer. And through prayer, that desire builds until it becomes what I call assurance. Assurance is where the leaves begin to come out of the ground. The seed that is implanted in your spirit is invisible. It's invisible. Just like when you planted a seed into the ground, it cannot be seen. But the day comes as the seed continues to receive the right condition and it comes out. The wrong condition, you don't see anything else. Anybody have been doing gardening before? Once in a while, I don't have much time for that, but about last year, I did it only, I tried only once in a blue moon. Bought a small packet of flower seed, some quite big looking, just wanted to see what the flowers look like. Whole packet of them, put it on the ground. And my wife said, that's not the way to do it, the birds will eat it. I said, okay, let me put salt on it then. I'm not good at gardening, and I just want to learn something sometimes, that's all. And so cover it. All the seeds I planted, there was one little plant that started coming up. There's one that I put in a pot, and that one succeeded. But there was this that I put in the garden. One little plant that started coming up, I look at it very carefully, this must be the one. And I every day examine it, and lo and behold, one day it came forth, it was a weed. I said, what happened to my plant? You know, when it's small with those dicotyledons, you can tell the difference. And I said, what happened to my seed? And I said, never mind, I have patience. So I waited. I didn't exercise any law of the spirit in that. I was just watching the natural. I didn't try to resurrect, lay hands or anything. I didn't try that. It was not led by the spirit. It might work if the spirit leads. And I watched it. And my wife said, it's all died, it's become part of the soil. I said, let me watch it. And pull out the weeds around there and just watch it. 2 months passed by, nothing happened. I said, 2 months, I think, finished already. The story has ended there. And so I found out that putting the seed into the ground was not enough. Not enough. And you need certain right conditions. But there was one that we kept separately, that was kept in a little pot, not because I was trying to see the difference, but because I just wanted one little pot in my one of the rooms there. And that one succeeded, and I was so thrilled at it. When the flowers started coming, put it outside, it was knocked over, and that was the end of it. My dog did it. And so I had a nice funeral for it, and it became part of the store. And anyway, there are certain conditions that are necessary before the seed can come out. And God may have planted a desire in your life, but the conditions are not right, it won't ever come out. It has to have, a seed has to have sunshine, it has to have water, it has to have nutrition. Nutrition is the word of God. Water is prayer. Sunshine is fellowship with God. God may have placed a seed in your life. You feel it. The desire is the covering that you feel and the seed in your spirit. It's the tangibility you feel of the spirit realm. But if there's not enough prayer and water, you realize that the first part in the life of a seed is the water. Of course, God's presence is already there in fellowship. It's water that loosens the part. And when a seed first starts its life, there is enough nutrition inside there to start the process first. To burst forth. That's why you could just drop it in the water. And then through time, you need to bring in the word at a certain point. We are talking tonight, as we are concentrating on prayer, on emphasizing prayer. It's where the birthing process comes. The birthing process. And it's the water that you add to the seed. Plenty of it. Plenty of it. You know, they had discovered planting this plant. You know, when we first started, we brought all those plants, lovely tall plants, giants, you know. It lasted several months. And then the anniversary came, they look at it, all were very skinny, right? Didn't know whether they took after the pastor or what. And so after some time, then they wanted to buy more plants. And then they found, then I wanted to find out why those things happen. And in the end, we found out that it's not just the nutrition. I mean, they provide some nutrition to a certain extent. And today, there are lot, so many fertilizers, you just stick it in and it's slow release type. But water. Nobody was doing the watering. Neglected many times under the hostile conditions of the auditorium. And so, and then slowly I began to see, hey, it's taking life again. You know what I found out? I found there was, during those days, Eric was saying now here, Eric says, he has to come here every morning, water. And he says, begin to see the difference in the plant. Water. Oh, water, water. So important, the waters of prayer. And it's in prayer that your ministry is being birthed from. It's in prayer that the gifts of the Spirit are being birthed from in your life. In your life. From desire, it goes to when it burst forth, the leaves started coming from the surface, you know the plant is doing okay. That's when the assurance comes. What do you receive when there's a budding? An assurance. An assurance that is birthed in your spirit. We all realize that you may have desire, but no assurance. No assurance, no deep assurance. You may desire to be a prophet who functions 10 times in the anointing that Hagin or Branham functions, but you don't have you don't have the assurance. As long as you don't have an assurance, you can forget about it because it will never come forth. Then where do I get the assurance? Combine desire with prayer, that's where the assurance can come. And as the assurance is built in one area after another, you begin to see the leaves, the flowers, and then the fruit forming later. It's very important to have the assurance. Even Mark 11:24 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. That's the assurance part. A lot of people have the first part. What things soever you desire, keep on trying. And they never got it. What things soever you desire, you have to combine it with prayer. Why is prayer necessary? Prayer is also a filter that removes the wrong desires. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you pray in God, the wrong desires get filtered out of your life. And only the right desires come forth. Let me tell you why it's important to filter out. Any wrong desire that you don't filter out can get conceived by living under constant temptation and yieldedness to the lifestyle of the devil and his way. So any desire that you allow to remain in your life and increase and grow that is not of God will also conceive if you feed it in the flesh. James tells us that when desire has conceived under temptation, it is sin. And it's in prayer meetings like this. There's one brother who told me one time how he had such a desire. He has a bad habit of smoking. And then in Penang, he went to a prayer meeting. Fast and prayer meeting. And he just attended the atmosphere. Came out of it. And he couldn't smoke anymore. Doesn't want to smoke, doesn't like to smoke, and never smoke again. See, there are a lot of things that are wrong desire that get filtered out in a prayer meeting. a lot of wrong things get burned out in the presence of God that we have as we pray. So tonight, we are going to desire earnestly. We're going to covet earnestly. And allow your desire to magnify and burn. And if you pray in the things of the Spirit, say, is it right to pray for those things that God wants me to do and desire, like my ministry and all these things? Yes. There's a time and a purpose for all things. This is a night where you can concentrate on that and the gifts of the Spirit. So will God answer yes? When you ask anything in line with His will, you always get an answer. You will get the same answer that Solomon gets. Because when he asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon asked for something that helped him do God's work for his life better. See, Solomon was called to be a king. And he asked for something that helped him to do the kingship and perform the kingship better. Say, Lord, I'm a king. I'm a judge to your people. I need wisdom. We have not because we ask not. And we have to ask. We have to desire. We have to prevail for those things that God has in line for us. You have a desire for certain things and you have not spent enough time praying over those desires. That's the reason why the assurance never comes. Should the assurance come, you will be able to see the result in the other meetings as you minister in the Lord. So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just pray that even as we come before you tonight, there are many, many desires in the hearts and life of each one of us. So many, O God. And we pray, O God, that you may search our hearts, try us, know our thoughts, we pray. That you may burn up every wrong desire in our life. Filter it off. And that you may cause that desire in our lives to increase, to be multiplied. That ministry, that call of God, and the gifts of the Spirit that we have to function in. We may birth it forth this night as we wait upon you, Lord. May those of us who have never moved into the first place move into the first place. May those of us who need to move from one place to the other move to the next place in their life and ministry for you. Let your will be done tonight. We wait upon you. In Jesus' name. As all stand together, sing that song, praise the name of Jesus, and we go straight into prayer. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, He's my fortress, He's my deliverer, Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Jesus, pray. hold it in your hand, and tonight hold it right through the night and pray through tonight, because you're going to hear from God. Hold it in your hand, please. That with your record. Hold it in your hand throughout this night. Shikibahal Zekarabahashikibahal 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 Zekarabahashikib